This is a Shir on Hanukkah, and it's dedicated by the family of Dr. Chuck Feldman, Zichrono Livracha, in memory of an exemplary model of dedication to family, community, and Torah education, as we mark his fifth Yahrzeit on the 26th of Kislev. And I knew Dr. Feldman personally, and I could attest, at least in some way, to the fact that all of this is true. So I wanted to talk about the meaning, what Hanukkah is, according to the Ramban. What is Hanukkah? Now, when we think about Hanukkah, you could ask the question, and some people might say it was the military victory. I mean, I'm talking about positions that are held in Chazal. It's the military victory. If you read Al Nisim, so there were miracles, but there was this great military victory. Maybe it was a miracle. Maybe it was the miracle of the oil. There was only enough oil for something, and the oil burned for more than that. The problem with those answers, the problem with those two answers, which are the answers of Chazal, is that as far as miracles are concerned, miracles are irrelevant. Miracles are irrelevant in the sense that, well, I mean, there have been much greater miracles than making a little bit of oil last for a long period of time. I mean, why would we celebrate that when we don't celebrate many other miracles that took place and are recorded in the Torah? As far as the military victory is concerned, there are other more significant military victories. For example, Yoshua ben Nun, when he conquered Eretz Canaan, that conquest led to a very long period in history where many good things happened. Some things not so good. But you know that the Hashmonaim, the victory of the Hashmonaim, which is approximately 135 BCE, ended with the destruction of the temple in 70 CE, if I remember correctly. And that means there were about 200 years. Now, those 200 years were not years that we are proud of, necessarily. They were bad years. The kings, the Hashmonaim kings, were bad people who did bad things to their co-religionists. And a lot of Greek influence and then Roman influence. And so I say that it's not so clear what it is that distinguishes Hanukkah from other days of the year or other days that we might be proud of ourselves. Daniel Feldman said that he would come tonight. This is Dr. Feldman, Zichrono Livracha's son, who teaches in Bar Ilan. If anybody wants to go to Bar Ilan. So the Ramban's position on Hanukkah is found in the beginning of the parasha Baalotcha, in Bamidbar. Bamidbar Naso Baalotcha, the third parasha in Baalotcha. And that parasha begins with this pasuk at the top of the page. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe l'emor, daber el Aharon v'amarta elav, Baalotcha et ha-neirot el mu p'nei ha-menorah, ya'iru shivata neirot. So you know there's a menorah that's in the Beit HaMikdash. It's in the Kodesh, in the outer room. There are two rooms in the building in the Beit HaMikdash. Two-thirds of the room, or one-third, the one-third back of the room has the Aron Kodesh in it, and that's where the Kohen Gadol goes in on Yom HaKippurim, into that one-third of the room. In the two-thirds of the room, there are a few things. There's the what's called the Mizbeach HaZahav, the little altar on which the Ketoret, what's a Ketoret?
Incense.
Right. The incense offering is made every day, and there's a menorah. And the menorah is cleaned and lit every night. The Kohen lights it, and then in the morning it burns during the night, and then the next day he does the same thing. He cleans out the the place where you kept the oil and puts in new oil and a wick and lights it up again. Right? That it's also in that room. Now, Rashi, as we'll see in a minute, but Rashi says that this is a very strange way to present a mitzvah in the pasuk. Usually a mitzvah is tell Aaron to do this and this. But this word beha'alotcha, which means, and when you get around to lighting the candles, right, then ya'iru b'shivata neirot. Of course they will ya'iru, because that's what it means. You light it, so there is light. There's a kind of, it's hard to understand what the intention of the pasuk exactly is, but Rashi understands that this is not a regular kind of mitzvah. This is not a regular kind of mitzvah statement. So Rashi says this. Look at Rashi. Ba'alotcha. Lama nismecha parashat ha-menorah le-parashat ha-nesiyim. Lama nismecha? You know that that's a kind of an idea that Rashi likes. Rashi likes to find connections between a stream of consciousness, so to speak. The end of the parasha of Naso and the beginning of the parasha of Baha'alotcha. Rashi think, except that Rashi doesn't make it up. He never makes up the Lama Nismicha. He only says Lama Nismicha when it's in Chazal. Right? That's how Rashi is. But the feeling that I always had was that Rashi himself would have liked to do it for every parasha, to show that every parsha is connected to the one that comes before it. There's some kind of stream of consciousness in the Torah, but he only does it when Chazal do it. So here he says, Lama nismichu parashat ha-menorah le-parashat ha-nesiyim. What's the parashat ha-nesiyim? It's the parasha that comes before. And what happened in the parashat ha-nesiyim? There was Chanukat ha-mizbeach. Chanukat ha-mizbeach. After the Mishkan, the tabernacle was built, then the Siyim came, and they did Chanukah. They did, they got it going somehow. They got going there. So the way they did it was, every day, a different Nasi, a different regent of a Shevet, came and gave all the korbanot that you could possibly give on the Mizbeach. That was what he did. That's called Chanukat HaMizbeach. So, Lefi, Kishet, so now here, Rashi goes and tells us a story. Kishera'a Aaron Chanukat HaNesiyim Chalsha Dato. So he says, when Aaron saw that the Nesiyim were all bringing all these sacrifices day after day after day, Chalsha Dato, he went faint, I guess. I don't know exactly what Chalsha Dato is, but you know, he expressed his disappointment physically. Chalsha Dato. Shelo haya imahem b'chanukah. He was unhappy because he did not participate in this event. Lohu v'lo shifto. Neither he, Aaron, nor his tribe, the Kohanim and the Leviim, they did not participate. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chayecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, chayecha is a word that implies an oath. It's like as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking an oath, which of course, you know, literarily seems a little strange, because the word of God is an oath. It's as much of an oath as any oath we could imagine. But that's what it's a literary kunz, like very serious statement. Shelcha gedola mishelahem. He said to him, don't worry, Aaron, you've got a bigger job than they have, because atam adlika metivat anirot, you are going to light the candelabrum in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. Mishkan, Beit HaMikdash, the same thing. You're going to light those candles. So Aaron made a mistake. He thought that the Nesiim had like some kind of a better seat in the Mishkan than he had. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, no, you got a good seat. And your seat is lighting the menorah every single night. Okay? Baha'alotcha. Okay, this is not so much connected to our topic, but we'll read the Rashi. Al shem sha'alav oleh. Why is it called Baha'alotcha? And they wrote, you like lift them up. You lift up the candles. They weren't candles. They were oil with wicks, right? Before candles, B.C. Before candles. There were no candles in the world at that time. So, al shem shalav olev, the flame goes up. Katuv b'hadlakatan lishon aliyah. So, somehow the verb to go up is used when describing the lighting of the candles. Because when you light the candles, you have to wait. Everybody who's lit candles in their lives knows that you can't just light it. You have to wait until it catches. You know, if you light it and then you take away the source of light, the candles can go out. So that's what Rashi is saying. There's another drasha that comes from Baalot Cha, which means when you go up Aaron, that there was a little stairs, little ladder, and you could see in all the pictures, you look at the picture of the Mishkan, next to the menorah there's a little two-step ladder, so that if the Kohen Gadol was not tall enough, he could go up on the ladder and then light the menorah. So Bahalotcha either refers to the flame or it refers to the Kohen. That's what Rashi says. Rashi, as you know, doesn't mind that there are two possible interpretations. So there are two possible. In other words, he understands, as Chazal understood, that the more interpretations you have, the deeper you can look into the Pasuk. Like if you didn't have a lot of interpretations, it would be much less interesting. As that's the difference between learning an ancient language that has a tradition of interpretation and learning an ancient language that doesn't have a tradition of interpretation. So if you read Homer, you can think about it because there's a very wide-ranging tradition of interpretation. If you read Sumerian literature, all you could do is daven mincha. I mean, that's nothing you can do. So, el mul pnei ha-menorah, el mul emtzeish, el mul ner emtzeish, eino bikanim, el bikul shel ha-menorah. That's how it's made. There are six branches, which are either circular or triangular. As you know, if you Hanukkah, you'll be able to see on the road all the little babich and menorahs are triangular, right? Like this. What? They're all triangular, but we don't know how it was because there's a manuscript of the Rambam's Perush HaMishnah in which there is a line drawing written by somebody, maybe the Rambam, maybe a scribe, maybe a friend, maybe a child in the kindergarten who couldn't write, do this, then could only do it. We don't know. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe said that must be it. So all the Lubavitcher menorahs are now triangular, including the ones out in the street. So that's what Rashi said. Rashi doesn't say that, but Rashi says that all of the candles have to point to the middle. So you know, if a candle is a cup, and in the cup you put oil, and then you stick a wick into it. Now, you know, they didn't have floating wicks like we did. So what they did was, can you imagine it? A cup, oil, a wick. You see the wick? So you could put, you had to put the, you can't just drop the wick into the, so sometimes there was a slot to put the wick into, in a candle that you walked around your house with a candle. But if you didn't have a slot, you just leaned it against the cup. Now, so you could lean it in this side, or in this side, or in this side, or that side. So the way you did it was, you leaned the wicks in the direction of the middle. They were all facing into the middle, and then Rashi makes an interesting point, and that's why I want you to see this. Ya'iru shivata neirot. You see the last phrase in the Rashi? Shisha shal sheshet hakanim. The six, there were seven candles in the Beit HaMikdash. Three on one side, three on the other side, and one in the middle. Right? Seven. Not like a Hanukkah menorah, which to the best of my recollection has eight on the eighth night. Right? Eight. But in the Beit HaMikdash, there were seven. You have to remember that there were seven. Shlosha Mizrachiyim Po'im Lemulat Emtzai V'Aptilot Shebahem V'Chein Shlosha Maraviyim Rashi HaPtilot Lemulat Emtzai. So that, according to Rashi, the three on this side, three over here, the wicks face the middle. And the three on this side, the wicks face the middle. So these three and these three face in the opposite direction. So the question Rashi answers, why? What's the difference to us how the wicks were placed in the menorah? So Rashi has an answer. Velama? You see Rashi? Kedei shelo yomru le'orahu tzarich. So that means, in order that you should not say that we need the light from the menorah. I mean, it's absolutely a very curious idea. We light the menorah, but we don't need the light of the menorah. How do I know I don't need the light of the menorah? Because if I needed the light of the menorah, I would bring in a lighting expert who would tell me how to put the wicks so that I get maximum light. I put this one over here, and that one facing this way, and the other one facing that way, so I get the maximum light in the room. But I don't want the maximum light. I don't want that. So I want all the light to be concentrated at one point, which, according to Rashi, is an inefficient way of lighting the menorah. And since it's an inefficient way of lighting the menorah, what do I get? Kedei shelo yomru lo rahu shatzarik. People should understand that the menorah represents a mitzvah, right? You have to do it, and they shouldn't think that you're lighting the menorah in order to have light in that room, which is called the Kodesh of the Beit HaMishkan, or the Beit HaMikdash, or the Mishkan. Of course, this all strikes us as being a little odd. Let me rephrase that. This strikes me as being a little odd, because there was nobody in the Beit HaMikdash all night long. What difference could it possibly have made to light the lights in this direction, or in that direction, or in another direction? There was no one for whom this menorah served as a source of light. Ever the Kohen who lit the menorah, and he left. He's gone. And no one showed up until the next morning. So that's an interesting point that Rashi makes, and another interesting point that we don't understand. All the other questions are in the Ramban. So if you look at the Ramban, Ba'alot Chak. Lama nismicha parashat menorah lechanukat anisiyim. Here the Ramban quotes Rashi, right? Right? If you look at the end of that paragraph, five lines down, it says Lashon Rashi, Mimedrash Agadah. He quotes Rashi. We just read Rashi. Here's a quote of Rashi. Now here's the Ramban. Lo nitbarer li. I don't understand. It's not clear to me. Lama nechamo bahadlakata neirot. He says, if it's true that he was so unhappy, Aaron was so unhappy because he didn't participate. But he was unhappy because he didn't participate. Lama nechamo bahadlakata neirot. So why did God say to him, I'll give you a good deal, you'll light candles? What's one thing got to do with the other, the Ramban says? If he's unhappy about the sacrifices, he's still going to be unhappy after God tells him that he can light the candles. V'lo nechamo, and he didn't say to him, no, you're going to be in charge of the incense, the ketoret, boker v'erev, every day. They had two sacrifices of incense that the Kohen was in charge of, Sheshimchu bo akatuv, but which the pasuk itself says, Yashimu ketorah ba'pecha, that this is something that distinguishes Am Yisrael. They are the ones with the ketoret. Uvichol ha'korbanot, he could have said to him, well, you're in charge of all the sacrifices. You're just in charge of this one day of the Nisiyim. And all of the sacrifices that have to do with wheat, right? Making blintzes. and the Kohen is the Gadol, is the only one who goes into the Kodesh Kodeshim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them all of these things. They said, what are you so unhappy about, Aaron? You're the guy in charge. You do this, you do that, you do the other thing. What are you unhappy about? She'enak she'ira elabo. On Yom HaKippurim, he's the only one who's allowed to go into the Kodesh Kodeshim. Nichnas lefnai lefnim. Vishahu Kadosh Hashem Omeid Behechalo Lisharto. He is Kodesh Hashem. What's Kodesh Hashem? What was written on the tzitz is like it's his name. He's designated as the Holy One of God. He, the Kohen Gadol. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that, reminded him about all of these things. And what is it that the Chanukat HaMizbeach? It's a one day event. It passes, it's gone. It doesn't come back again. All these things that the Kohen Gadol does, that the Ramban listed, he does again and again and again. He's the person who remains more or less in charge of the Beit HaMikdash, of the Mishkan. Omeid beheichalo l'shato l'verech b'shmo v'shifto kulo mishatei elokeinu. And his tribe, the tribe of Levi and the Kohanim, they're all serving God. They're all serving God. The old matam chalishuta data. So, what reason could he have possibly had to kind of faint away when he heard what was going on? His sacrifice is even greater than the sacrifice of the Nesi'im, the sacrifice that the princes brought for each tribe. There were many korbanot that were brought in those days. In all of the days that Moshe Rabbeinu set up the Mishkan, he put it up and he took it down, and he put it up and he took it down for 8 days. And each one of those 8 days, he brought korbanot. He brought korbanot. That means Aaron HaKohen brought those korbanot. Vim tomar. If you will say shehayu chova v'nitzaveh bahem, if you say, well, those were obligatory, and he, Aaron, was commanded to bring them, v'chalsha dato al shelo hikriv nidava kemotam ke lechanukat hamizbeach, and if you say that what really upset Aaron HaKohen was that the Nesi'im brought extraordinary sacrifices. That's called a nidava. A nidava is a... What's a nidava?
Voluntary.
A what?
Voluntary.
Oh, yeah. Like a...
Donation.
Like you give a donation. You know, you don't have to. You don't have to. They wanted to do it, so they did it. So maybe that's what he was annoyed about. L'chanukah gam hadlakat anerot shenechamu b'chau chova v'nitztava alav. So the Ramban said, look, that might be a good question. That might be really what Aaron fainted about. Because they were all doing things on their own initiative. They wanted to do it. So that's why he fainted away. But after all, according to the story that Rashi tells, HaKadosh Baruch Hu consoled Aaron by telling him about Hadlakat HaNerot. Hadlakat HaNerot is also a mitzvah. It's not optional. It's not something that you can just bring on your own. So if it were true that what Aaron HaKohen fainted about was the fact that he didn't bring optional korbanot, well, what sort of response is there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, here are the candles. The candles are also obligatory. So even though the Ramban admits that this might have been a reason for Aaron's response, it doesn't make sense in the context of the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered him and said, you're going to get Hadlakat HaNerot. Believe me, we're going to get to Hanukkah. I know it doesn't seem that way, but we're now going to go helter-skelter into Hanukkah. Aval inyan ha'agada hazot lidrosh remez min ha'parasha. Inyan ha'agada hazot. It is the Ramban is taking this story that's told in rabbinic literature, taking it very seriously. And he's saying, inyan ha'agada hazot, the meaning of it, the purpose of it, the intention of it. Lidrosh remez min haparasha al Chanukah shel neirot, al Chanukah shel neirot shaita bebayit sheni al yidei Aaron abanav. This is a reference to the neirot, to the candles that were lit by Aaron ubanav in Bayit Sheni. Now, if you have trouble figuring out what he's talking about, so he says, Ritzoni lomar, see Ritzoni lomar, those words? Means what I mean to say, HaChashmonai, Kohen Gadol ubanav, remember HaChashmonai? Right, Matityahu, Chashmonai, that was his name, his family name, something like that. But the word Chashmonai takes you to Hanukkah. There's no other possible point that he might be pointing to. So it's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ba'alotcha et ha-Neirot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Aaron, Ba'alotcha et ha-Neirot. But he's not talking about the Neirot in the Mishkan, or even the Neirot in the Beit HaMikdash. He was talking about Ba'alotcha, when you proxy, your proxies, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, at the time of the Chashmonaim, there's going to be some kind of an issue that is connected to Deirot, and they are going to do something. They're going to light the candles. They are going to light the candles. And then the Rabban says, but I need more. I have to elucidate this further. And he says, B'lashon HaZeh Matzatei B'Megilat Tzarim L'Rabbeinu Nisim. There's a book called, it's quoted in several places. We don't have the book, but somebody collected all the places where the Megillat Sitarim is quoted and sort of made a book out of quotes. You know, they're like books like that, where you don't have the original book, but you have a book of quotes of the original. So the book is called Megillat Sitarim. He quotes it, Mitzatiha, Megillat Sitarim, so he seems to have had the book. The Rabbeinu Nisim, Shezkir Hagada Hazove Amar. He mentioned this story that Rashi brings. He was a contemporary of Rashi's. Rabbeinu Nisim was like a contemporary of Rashi. He mentions the story, and then he explains. V'amar, Ra'iti b'medrash. I saw in the Medrash, Kevan shekrivu shnei masar shvatim, v'lo ekriv shevet Levi v'chule, that all the 12 tribes brought the sacrifices day after day, but B'nai Levi did not bring these sacrifices. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe, Daber L'Aaron, V'amar Te'ilav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, I want you to pacify Aaron. I want you to tell him something. I want you to speak to him. Yesh Chanukah Acheret. Chanukah. What does the word Chanukah mean?
Dedication.
Well, dedication. So what dedication is in the Chumash? The dedication of the Mizbeach. Right, remember. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Aaron, Yesh Chanukah Acheret. There's another dedication of the Mizbeach. Another startup, a new start for the Mizbeach. And when is that? Sheyesh Bahadlakat HaNeirot, where there's going to be the lighting of the candles. V'ani Oseh Bali Yisrael, Al Yedei Banecha, Nisim Uchua Ve'ani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oseh Ba, on that day, at that time, Li Yisrael, Al Yedei Banecha, because of the action of your sons, your son, grandson, great-grandson, right, as many generations it takes to get there, Nisim Uchua, miracles and salvation, V'chanukah Shekruya Al Shmam. That there's going to be another Chanukah. There's going to be a Chanukah in the world that's going to be very impressive and very important, and that's yours. He said to Aaron HaKohen. This is what the Rabbeinu Nisim writes in the Megillat Sitarim, explaining this Medrash, which was quoted by a little bit by Rashi and more extensively by the Ramban and commentary by Rabbeinu Nisim. So it turns out that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Aaron HaKohen was, don't fret. I like that word. Your notoriety will be a lot greater than the Nisiyim, because they're doing Chanukah Mizbeach. It's like just sitting there, the Mizbeach. Oh, it's the Mizbeach. But you are going to create something that is totally new, and that demands a little bit more of explanation. So he says, "V'hu Chanukat b'nei Hashmonai lefikach esmin parashat zol leparashat Chanukat ha-mezbech ad kan l'shono." And therefore, esmich, the parasha of Nisiyim and the Mizbeach in Parashat Naso and the parasha at the beginning of Balot come next to each other, because there was really a conversation. As a result of the conversation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Aaron HaKohen, you light the candles now, but you should know that this is going to become a big deal in the future. What the big deal is, we don't know. Because we started out this year, I said, I don't know exactly what we're supposed to celebrate on Chanukah. And what exactly is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Aaron HaKohen? Ramban. We're still in the Ramban, right? The Ramban says, I saw in the Medrash called Yelamdeinu, which we call usually Tanchuma, which is a Medrash Agadah Chamisha Chumshei Torah. A Medrash Agadah Chamisha Chumshei Torah. You can buy it. You can get it online. You can dream about it. Tanchuma. Tanchuma is the name of a Tana. That's why it's called Tanchuma. They were not so imaginative with names. But Tanchuma is the opening statement in the Tanchuma. So it's called Tanchuma. V'chein b'medrash rabba. Medrash rabba is the big medrash on the Chamish Chum Shei Torah and the Chamesh Megillot. Medrash rabba. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said again to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lechem Or La'aron, Al Tit Yarei. Do not fear, Aaron. You are going to be getting something even greater than what you perceive the Nisi'im are getting. Hakorbanot, kol zman shebeit hamikdash kayam, hem nohagim. Korbanot are only a function of the Beit HaMikdash. You need a Beit HaMikdash in order to have korbanot. Aval haneirot lo'olam el mul p'nei ha-menorah ya'iru. But the neirot are forever. What could that possibly mean? V'chol ha-brachot sh'natati l'cha l'vrechit b'nei et banai einan b'teilim lo'olam. And the same thing is true about Birkat Kohanim, even though this is not written in the Chumash. But in the Medrash it says, the Kohanim, like well, that's our minhag in Eretz Yisrael. And Chutz La'aretz is a different situation, but in Eretz Yisrael the minhag is that the Kohanim, duchan olim la'duchan, every day, forever. They're just going to be doing that. V'inei davar yadua, k'she'ein beit ha-mikdash kayam v'akorbanot b'teilim, mipnei churbano afaneirot b'teilot, he says, how could the Medrash say that? Because everybody knows that if the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, so there are no korbanot. Yes, that's true, but there's also no neirot. There's no menorah. Right? The menorah disappears. So the Ramban says, avalo ramzu ela neirot chanukat chashmonai shehino heged aflachat churban begaluteinu. So the only thing from the Beit HaMikdash that continues to exist, I'm telling you what the Ramban says, I'm not telling you, it's not political. The Ramban says, the only thing from the Beit HaMikdash that is remains when the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, Begaluteinu, he says, in our diaspora, but even Eretz Yisrael, he meant the same thing, is the Ner. That's all there is. So what Ner is he talking about? He's talking about the Ner of Chanukah. So he says that the Ner of Chanukah somehow takes the place of the Ner in the Beit HaMikdash. That's what he says. Okay, so that's what he says. So those two things are forever. The menorah and the Birkat Kohanim. But it's like not so easy to understand. Still not easy to understand. Because you know that because we wanted to put the nace of Chanukah into the menorah, we ended up with a menorah of 8 kanim, 8 candles. And that we only light one night. of Hanukkah, the last night of Hanukkah, according to the minhag that we have adopted, even though it was a machlokas at the time of the Gemara, but we adopted 1, 2, 3 and not 8, 7, 6. But it's only one day that all of the lights are there. But on that one day, it's the wrong number. It's 8. It's not the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash was 7. And also, it's just 1 week a year. I mean, 8 days. 1 week a year, the Beit HaMikdash, it was every day. It was every day. And besides, if Aaron HaKohen was upset about the fact that the Nesiim are bringing many korbanot, why does it make him happy? I mean, like a Kaddish Baruch says, well, if you just have patience and wait the 800 years, everything will work out. I mean, what was the offer? You know, like why was Aaron supposed to be happy now that he was out happy before? So there's one more Ramban that we have to look at. The rest of the Ramban is just the Ramban on different topics. So in the previous parak, in the parasha of Nesot, there are psukim that describe the sacrifices that were brought by the Nesiim. And one pasuk is Korbanot, Karat Kesav Achat, etc. You know, in other words, it describes the Korbanot in several psukim. The Ramban, on all of the material at the end of the parasha of Nesot, has one comment. Just one comment. And we're going to read that one comment together, and you'll see that the Ramban actually explained everything. Solet b'lula b'shemed l'mimchas. Right, solet is fine flour mixed in with oil, l'mincha, for a mincha offering, a meal offering. Hello. What's meal? Like, it's like something? Great. You ever go to the store, you say, give me meal, you Great. Get something? You don't get a thing. Grain, I understand, but it's called a meal offering because we're under the influence of like a 16th century translation of the
cornmeal.
You still say that? You can buy it? Corn. Yeah?
Oh, yes.
Okay, thank you.
But oatmeal.
Oatmeal, is that what it is? That kind of meal?
Think of the word oatmeal. It's
meal is kind of meal.
I see more involvement in this point than in anything else I mentioned today.
That's right.
So listen. Breakfast. Listen to the Ramban. This is a wonderful Ramban. If you want to remember one Ramban in your life, this is it. This is it. Chinchu ha-nesi'im et ha-mizbeach. How did the princes do this dedication process on the Mizbeach? Bekol ha-minim ha-krevim alav. Very simple. They brought every possible korban. There are many korbanot, and they brought all the different kinds of korbanot, like alkein heviyu mincha ukitoret, meal offering, and incense offering, and olah, and a burnt offering, and a chatat. A chatat is a sin offering, and shlamim is like anything else that's left over. All kinds of korbanot. So he says, Vaktoret vachatat horat shah. He says, let's talk about first the chatat. He's like the Rabban says, how can they bring a korban chatat? Korban chatat means somebody sinned. You can't just bring a korban chatat. You can't bring a korban that doesn't exist. A chatat means that somebody had to bring a korban chatat. But if you didn't have to bring a korban chatat, what makes it into a korban chatat? No? This is like, I see the reactions are limited. You can't bring a korban chatat. I'm talking about, you may be doing something wrong, but you can't bring it's not a korban chatat. What makes it into a korban chatat is that the person who brings it has to bring it. But if the person who brings it, tzaddik yisod olam, it's not a korban chatat. It's something else. I mean, it looks like something else. And he says it's a chatat, but it's not. So the Ramban says, Al kein eviu mincha ktoret v'olah v'chatat u'shlamim. V'ktoret v'chatat. You can't bring either of them. The ktoret goes with the tamid. The sacrifice is brought in the morning. Otherwise, you can't make a ketoret. It doesn't work. So he says horacha'a. Horacha'a. What is horacha'a? Horacha'a is an abrogation of the halachic requirement for a moment. It was the moment demands an abrogation. So the example that everybody knows is Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu was confronted the prophets of Baal. And like he had a Mizbeach, and they had a Mizbeach. It was like a reality show, right? And they said, you know, blah, 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 blah. Nothing happened. And Eliyahu HaNavi said, da, 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 da. And fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. Everybody understood that Eliyahu, representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wins. And the Baal lost. So the answer in the Gemara is, but how did he do it? Because everybody knows that after the Beit HaMikdash was built, you were not allowed to sacrifice outside of the Beit HaMikdash. So how did he do it? So the answer is, Horat Shah. Sometimes you have to do something that is extraordinary, out of the box, not connected to the halacha, in order to save the situation. And that's what Eliyahu did. So along comes the Ramban, and he calls this Horat Shah. He says, they brought a chatat, and they brought a ketoret, and they said, poof, you're a chatat, and poof, you're a ketoret, and that's the way it is. And that was horat shah. It was not halachically reasonable, but it was acceptable in the context of the moment. There was a horat shah, she'enam ba'im b'nedavah. You can't bring a chatat as a donation. You have to be obliged to bring it, but as a horat shah, you can do anything. About Lashlim b'Chanukah kol ha'korbanot, Lashlim b'Chanukah kol ha'korbanot nazakein, ki ein Yisrael mekrivim zulati elu ha'korbanot bilvad, ki achatat v'asham davar echer, echad, v'shem echad hu, v'torah achat lahem. That's a chatat and Hashem are the same thing. So they brought all of these sacrifices, and the chatat v'ketoret were Horat Shah, v'hinei Hashem nichbad. Listen to this. So they did something, the Nesi'im did something extraordinary. Yes? What was the extraordinary thing that they did? They brought a chatat and they brought a ketoret. How did they get away with that? Horat Shah. That's what the Ramban says. It was like, and then the Ramban goes on. Listen to this. Lefikach, v'hinei, I'm sorry, v'hinei, it's the last word on the first long line. V'hinei, Hashem ha'nichbad, iskim al dat ha'nesi'im. HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with what the Nesi'im did. What did they do? They brought korbanot that are halachically unacceptable. And they became acceptable for the moment. They became acceptable for the moment. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, great idea. Everyone take a day. And everybody will bring a chatat and a ktoret. And it may be, the Ramban says, that this idea that was generated by the Nesi'im was actually converted into a mitzvah. And what would be the test of whether it's a mitzvah or not? When they had the next Chanukat HaMizbeach, and the third Chanukat HaMizbeach. When was the next Chanukat HaMizbeach? The Beit HaMikdash of Shlomo HaMelech. When was the one after that? The next Chanukat HaMizbeach, the Beit HaMikdash that was built by Ezra and Nehemiah, right? That Beit HaMikdash. So Rashi, Rabban says the Ktiv in Ezra, Ravdu v'nei Yisrael ka'anaya, I missed the pasuk, right? V'chein asah Shlomo Chanukat HaBayit, right? That's what Shlomo HaMelech did. The Ktiv v'yachnechu et Beit HaElokim HaMelech v'chol ha'am. So Shlomo HaMelech did Chanukat HaMizbeach in his time. What was Chanukat HaMizbeach? What the Nesi'im did in the desert. He did the same thing. That's what the Ramban what the Rambam thinks he did. V'chein, anshei kneset ha'gdola, asu Chanukah. Chanukah meaning the dedication of the Mizbeach. Dichtiv, v'avdu b'nei Yisrael ko'anai l'livaya, v'shar b'nei galvata, Chanukat beit Allah v'gomer. That all the people who came from the diasporas, and they all made, they dedicated the Mizbeach. So what does the Ramban say? What does dedicated the Mizbeach mean? The same way that the Nesiim did it in the desert. That's how they dedicated it. So you see, at least according to the Ramban, you see, and then he says, V'chein li'mot ha-Mashiach. I'm sorry, one more line. V'chein li'mot ha-Mashiach, also in the Messianic era, which is described in Yechezkel, Shivat yamim yichburu et ha-Mizbeach, v'tiyaru oto milyu yadav, v'yichlu et ha-yamim, v'ya b'yom ha-shmini, v'hala yasu ha-kohanim al ha-Mizbeach, et olotem ve'et salmechem, v'hi chanuka la-Mizbeach b'miluchim. So in that pasuk in Yechezkel, which is talking about the bayit, the Beit HaMikdash, which will be built in the future, there's also mention of Chanukat HaMizbeach. Therefore, the Rabban comes to the conclusion that what the Siim did was not that they brought Korbanot and Aaron was excluded, but what they did was they wrote the Torah. There was something about the Torah that they wrote. There was a Horat Shah, which they said, we're going to do something that is not written in the Torah, that is not part of the accepted halakha, the known halakha to us. And HaKadosh Baruch said, wonderful. It was great that you did it. It was so great that it's going to become the halakha. And the Ramban says, this pasuk and that pasuk proves that in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash of Ezra, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash to come, there will always be Chanukat HaMizbeach, the way that the Nesiim did it. So now we go back and tell the story over again. We have to tell the story. You tell the story over again. Have a good trip. Oh, you're not going to America now?
See you tomorrow.
He's going to America. Not now. Aaron HaKohen saw what was going on. And he understood. He understood that they had done something that he had no way of emulating. He couldn't do that. They did it somehow. According to the Ramban, they created a mitzvah in the Torah. They created a mitzvah in the Torah which didn't exist, and which, according to the Ramban, is going to repeat it again and again. And finally, in the Beit HaMikdash that Yechezkel was talking about, the third Beit HaMikdash. That's so Aaron Cholshan Dato. He went into a catatonic withdrawal. He said, here I am. I'm in charge of everything. I'm doing everything. He knew that he was doing everything. And I was not able to perceive this need and to create new Torah. I wasn't able to do that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Aaron, Shelcha Gidola Mishelahem. What you're going to do is much greater than what they are going to do. Because the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash is the only thing that Am Yisrael cannot do without. Because we know it by our experience. We don't have a Beit HaMikdash. We don't have Korbanot. We don't have a way of Tumah V'Tahara. But we are able to maintain. We're able to daven. We're able to stand before God. We're able to do all of these things. But it must be the menorah that actually will keep us going. Because what is the menorah? I mentioned it on Motzei Shabbos. We always say, Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. Very well-known pasuk in Mishlei. What does Ner Mitzvah mean? It means that the lehava, the flame of the candle, is more or less fixed. And that's what a mitzvah is. It's something you do. It has a beginning and it has an end, and there's a right way of doing it. So Ner is the mashal of mitzvah. A mitzvah is a nair. But Torah is or. Or is a special kind of thing in the physical world. It takes up all the space. If you let it out, it'll just keep going forever. It never stops. So I remember that there's a Torah of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, or the Sicha Lubavitcher Rebbe, he said this. He said, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash, the windows in the Kodesh part, you know, where the menorah was, were, in the Tanakh it says, Shkufim Atumim, right? Shkufim Atumim means narrow on the inside and wide on the other side. In England, when they built forts, even in Eretz Yisrael, they called them Taggart forts. I'm not sure why. But Taggart forts were, you know, the guy with the bow and the arrow could stand inside. It would be very hard to hit him because you couldn't see him too well. But he could see out because his window was a slit. But the outside, it was pretty wide, and he was able to see the enemy. So that the mashal is that the light of the menorah, which was, as Rashi said, not there to light up the room in which the menorah was, but to spread the light throughout the world. So of course, if you're going to spread the light throughout the world, you're not going to want the candles to be in different kind of places. You want them to get the maximum light, as you have all the candles put together in the same place. That's what Rashi says. So the light of the menorah goes out every night all over the world. And since the light of the menorah is the thing that represents in the physical world, represents Torah, that's what Torah is. Like you can look at it again and do it again and do it over again. And that's the nature. That's the nature of Torah. You never get to a pshat, which is absolute, absolutely determined. It's always a work in progress. It's always a work in progress, figuring out what it says. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Aaron HaKohen, Shalcha Gdola Mishalahem. They're doing this thing with the Korbanot, and yes, they created a halacha. And they added something to Torah Or. I'm sorry, they added something to Ner Mitzvah. Ner Mitzvah is a mitzvah. They added a mitzvah. But really, you have to understand that B'nai Yisrael are not going to be able to live without Torah Or. The Beit HaMikdash will be destroyed, there won't be any Korbanot, there won't be any Mincha, there won't be Chatat, and all of that is bearable. But not to have Torah Or, that's unbearable. And so the fact that the Torah Or exists, even though the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash has become fallen into disuse, there is no menorah of the Beit HaMikdash, that is something that Chanukah reminds us of. It recreates the light that goes outside. And that's why the essential mitzvah of Hadlakat Neirot is Pirsumei Nisa. Pirsumei Nisa means educate, teach, go. And you always wonder, like here you are in Yerushalayim, everybody knows that it's Hanukkah, right? Either because your kids are not going to school, or because they were said it on the radio, or because they're selling Sukkaniyot. I mean, what's the Pirsumei Nisa? But the Pirsumei Nisa is that you have to teach the Or. That's the Pirsumei Nisa. You have to spread the light. Spreading the light refers to teaching the Torah. And in fact, it turned out that Am Yisrael continued to exist because they understood that the Torah could do it. They would be able to maintain themselves through the Torah. So it happened that whoever grabbed onto the Torah very strong remained, and whoever was not willing to do that probably did not remain so much. So shelcha gedola mishelahem, because they are a function. What they said, their ner mitzvah is a function of the existence of the Beit HaMikdash. But your Torah Or exists even when the Beit HaMikdash will disappear, and in fact will represent the existence, the continued existence of Am Yisrael. So I said at the beginning, I wonder what it is that they just want to celebrate on Chanukah. And I said, we'll look at the Ramban. We'll see what the Ramban says that we should celebrate. I think what the Ramban says we should celebrate is Torah Or. And the Chanukiah that we light, that we put it, originally we put it on the outside of our houses in a way that it would light up every place in the city, because we know today that that's the nature of light, right? You know, everybody knows that much physics, that if you put a light in your courtyard, it spreads. I mean, you don't always see it, but it spreads forever. Like when people say, how far is that cloud? I mean, I'm sorry, how far is that star? I mean, if you ever studied physics or something, and that comes up, everybody in school hears this idea. So the number of light years away that star is inconceivable. Like, you can't even imagine. Like, I can imagine a kilometer, 10 kilometers, 100 kilometers, 1,000, but I can't imagine the number that they tell me represents the distance between us and that star. So that's the nature of light. And it takes years and years for the light to get from the star to me. It's also like mind-boggling that light has there's no limit on light. And so that the idea that Torah Or is like very profound, it turns out. I don't know if when Shlomo HaMelech wrote the pasuk, whether he studied physics or not. That I don't know. But there's like this feeling that people have that light is special. It's not like other things in the physical world. So that the celebration of Chanukah actually turned out to be the celebration of that which is going to maintain Am Yisrael in difficult times. Because for 200 years there was an unhappy situation in Eretz Yisrael, then the Churban Beit HaMikdash, and since that time we're wandering around in one diaspora after the other, but the light of the Torah manages to glue us together somehow. We remain Am Yisrael because of the Torah, so that Aaron gets the credit for that. Because B'nai Yisrael, because the Chashmonaim, they went to purify the Beit HaMikdash, right? So the immediacy, they had to do it. They could have waited the 8 days until the oil, they didn't have to light the menorah right away. But they felt somehow that not having the light of the menorah, even if they were taking a chance, and they weren't sure that they would have oil for day two, right? They weren't certain about that, but not to light the menorah when they could light the menorah ran against their grain somehow. It was not something that they were able to actualize and to do. So they lit the menorah right away. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded with the miracle. But that's not as important as the idea that they lit the menorah. They lit the menorah. They said, B'nai Yisrael can't do without this menorah. And even if we won't get the oil in time, we have to light the menorah. We have to light the menorah anyway. So that Chanukah became the holiday that represents the continued existence of Am Yisrael as Am Yisrael. That's what happened. That's what happened on Chanukah. Because forever, after everybody understood that light that represents the Torah, and that's the light of the Chanukiah. You know, the Chanukiah, you're not allowed to use it for it. It's just like the light in the Beit HaMikdash. You can't count your change at the Chanukiah. You can't use it. You can't use it for anything because it has a very obvious purpose of Pirsumei Niso. But it's not the nes necessarily of a little bit of oil going a long way. It's the nes of the continued existence of Am Yisrael when the Beit HaMikdash no longer exists. Have a good Shabbos.